Thanks so much for joining us online today. We're always encouraged to hear stories of how lives are being changed by the message of grace all around the world from what we do right here in Longwood, Florida. So if you have a story you'd like to share with us, please send it to stories@graceorlando.com. If you'd like to support the mission and the ministry of Grace Church, you can give conveniently online at graceorlando.com. Thanks so much again for joining us today.
Good morning. Happy Father's Day. Of course, we have to get that out there, right? So now that it's done, I thought as an opening, rather than call it a prayer, it'll tie to where we're headed today. God led me to a scripture that is going to support the stuff we're working on, but it's also something that I think is a reminder to us, is being spoken to us. So with his authority and his grace and all humility, I'm speaking this on behalf of us. You can decide if you don't want to receive it. That's up to you, okay? But it's Paul in 2 Timothy, and I just like speaking. Imagine God speaking to us, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in, he mentioned some family members, for this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you. He goes throughout the laying on of my hands, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. So God, thank you, not only that you've given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, a disciplined mind, but also that you're reminding us we are already of the faith. You gave us, you pursued us, you sought us. We came into the opportunity and we said yes, and our life has never been the same again. And the enemy may come and lie and may say you're weak, and he may say you're not so powerful and you're not so loving and you're not of sound mind, but that's not true. So be encouraged, take faith, he's saying. So thank you, Daddy, for that reminder. And thank you for this whole journey we started last week, and we'll continue on in a little bit different way about understanding our new creation and how it ties to a prosperous soul, a soul that's in charge of our brain instead of our brain being in charge of our soul. We moved through it fast last week, so I want to come back to it. I also want to ask a favor. I love how interactive this has become, because it's us taking a journey together, which is great. We have the mic again now, so when there are questions, it's the people who join us through recording can hear your questions, because sometimes it's hard to hear. Today, I'm going to ask that you wait till late in the morning, and I will do my best to ask if there's questions, but that was great. It's ironic. When one of your grace mentors interrupts with a question, you're like, I got it. What? He's the dude I call and bounce everything I'm sharing off of and that kind of stuff. So anyway, but here's the thing. In fact, if we don't get to questions, we can roll into next week. But I want to suggest to you that it is questions. It's the nature of questioning. There's a healthy nature of questioning that's part of who we are. We're made to be curious, excited. He's the God of all green hope, and he says that we are the hope of glory. Christ in us is the hope of glory. Hope is part of our makeup now, okay? And hope, biblical hope, is confident expectation. It's not like, I wonder if it'll happen. It's, I know there's something good. I know there's something good, right? And so I would suggest to you that when being invited to take new ground, okay, when being challenged, when being invited to more and more appreciation and realization of the abundant life God means for you and I, that is already ours, there are reactions from the brain, fleshly reactions that come in the form, thank you, they don't even matter, they don't exist, of questions And those questions become the open door to take probabilities, we said last week. Remember from Caroline Leaf's book, The Whispers? They have no power when the enemy's whispering, but what if, what if, what if? Probabilities have no power until we come into agreement with it. And it then becomes actionable. It then becomes empowered. Evil, it says, is birthed the second we come into alignment with the lie. Now there's evil amongst us in that situation. By the way, evil's all around us in this fallen world, but we said we're above us, above it. It can't touch us. It may impact our environment for a moment till we remember, for light and momentary moments. How long, David? See, that's this. Questions last week, but what about the person who died? When we stop. Just for now, I'm asking, no questions. Be open to what if God's giving you stuff? What if there's stuff you don't know that you don't even know? That's the God I love. There's more to find out, and the God you love. Every second of every day, around every corner, there's a new revelation, new awareness, new intimacy, new adventure, new. Anybody ever sit in a restaurant? I don't mean to hyper-focus on this because I catch myself doing it with my wife, but you sit in a restaurant and you see a couple, and it seems like they have, for the last number of decades, they sit there and they don't say a word the whole time, and there's no relationship and there's no intimacy and there's no, that's not very exciting, right? And by the way, there's good news for even that couple, because waiting every second, there's this anticipation of the truth to emerge in that relationship too. So I didn't want to speak death over that relationship. Anyway, okay, so that scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7, talked about we have a spirit, not of timidity, but of power, love, and sound mind. Where does the spirit reside in us? I don't want to dwell on this, and I didn't prove it biblically, and I didn't check it with Bill, but there's scriptures that give a sense that our similar to, I found it just thinking about it, knowledge resides where? Where do we store knowledge? In our brain. That is a physical reality. It's a fleshly storage center, okay? Where does wisdom reside? I would suggest in our soul, right? So there's a correlation. So when Solomon asked God, when God said, ask me for anything, he said wisdom and knowledge. You still need the knowledge to go with both. You've heard a fun definition probably. Wisdom is knowing that you don't know. The first step of wisdom is knowing how much I don't know, okay? But all I wanted to get at here is there is a relationship between the spirit and the soul. The spirit, we weren't given a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and sound mind. And there's a correlation, and that is what leads our brain instead of our brain leading our mind. And as soon as we went there last week, the same thing that happens every time I explore this with anyone, including myself, these questions start to come up to challenge where your brain knows this is leading. Your brain is threatened by this reality because it's going to give up control. And so I was going to wait till later in the morning, but I'll get there now. There's a meme I ran across that I love, and you got to be a little flexible with it for a moment because the way it's meant could easily be from a mixture or legalistic Christian. I'm speaking to to non-believers, I'm speaking to believers when I look at this, or I'm thinking of believers. It's a guy that says, if being a Christian is so boring, then why do I always look happier than you do? Okay? Well, if being a Christian is, if being a grace-filled Christian that decides not to have to have it all figured out is so wrong, then how come I have so much more peace and joy and happiness than you do? I'm sorry if that's offensive, but I can't not be bold in the grace that he's given me. He said the same thing in Timothy. He said, be strong in the grace that's in you. And whose grace is it? Christ's grace, not mine. So I'm sad when I think of the hours and minutes, seconds, minutes, and hours I've wasted not enjoying what he died to give me. And I'm sad for you over the same thing. But I'm joyful too, not sad like, oh, let's just give up. No, awakened, right? It's a wake-up call. So the, sorry for the graphic detail there. Anyway, we're going to look at a parable in a second, but there is... We'll go to the parable now. Everyone, you know where the parable of the shoulder is? No one remember? Shoulder?
Shoulder,
okay, maybe he didn't get to that one. But Jesus spoke in parables, and he spoke to me in parable with where I'm about to go, okay? And first of all, the shoulder. Everyone's shoulder. It's a dynamic joint. The shoulder and the hip are two unique joints. They're ball and socket joints. They float. It's really a scientific magnificence, okay? There's all our other joints are more connected. I'm not good. Someone in here might understand all that. All I know is it's a floating joint. And if our body is operating properly, I'm coming to understand, when your spine is neutral, then the really two main impingement points in the body are your hips and your shoulders. And to use them improperly compromises them and puts them in a place of potential injury. Typically, they're strong enough that when compromised, you won't experience a debilitating injury. But there ends up being compensation for the misuse. So I currently am working with someone who takes this piece of bone looking, only it's made out of metal, knife type thing. Yeah, it looks like a jawbone. So he's Samson. He's as strong as Samson. So he's taking the jawbone of an ass and he's working it across my shoulder to the point that when I come off the table, there's blood vessels bursted, whatever. I'm wincing at this guy just, you know, doing the whole deal, whatever. What he has explained before he went there, I came to him by choice for this, okay? And there are things I want to do that I'm not able to do the way I'd like to be able to do them. And I knew that it wasn't right. So the parable is, I'm laying there and he takes my arm as I'm laying on a bed, right? And he takes it in many different ranges of motion. First gives me the blessed news that I knew in my spirit I was going to get, but my mind has been telling me I've had a torn rotator cuff and my mouth has repeated it to my wife. But I would then go and say, God, I'm not going to deny I'm scared about it, but you, and online it says that tissue around the shoulder, especially after 40-53 on Thursday, it doesn't heal. We don't get enough blood flow. Surgery is the only answer if it's gone too far. But the tear never goes away unless it's surgically healed. But you may be okay. So if you go to ortho, they'll say, if you had a tear, your tear is not worth the rehabilitation of the shoulder. Learn to live with it, but don't do the very things I want to do. Okay, so I didn't want to go to an ortho either. So I went to this guy instead. And sure enough, he said, you don't have a tear. Hallelujah, and that's great, okay. But you're at 80% range of motion. We need to get you to at least 90, and we can do that quickly. He goes, but here's the issue. The connective tissue and muscles here are too loose because of the compensation that has taken place over years and years of your physical working out the way you do. And when you came under load, when you came under stress and there was pain, the body compensated. The brain sent a message to do this and bring your shoulder out of the socket and continue to push more and more weight that way. Continue to do dips that way. Continue to do things that reinforced that the brain is successfully protecting the body. Someone starts to talk to you about life and life abundantly, letting go of what you thought to be true. And pain, danger, Will Rogers. Most of you are too young to get it. But so my wife said, I'm to remind you that I've been going through this for more than a year, but at least a year in my mind. So reinforcing the process that goes on. So You get it, right? So now all he has me doing, I want you to watch, it is a parable. It is metaphorical. Surgery, no. Dramatic, no. He did do some stuff to loosen what was tight, send some trauma to trigger the shoulder to want to stay in its socket after all. But he has me doing literally, simply things. He said, before we even worry about strength and mobility, you're firing out of order. And here's the gift from God. You should be firing as you prepare to use that shoulder. Firing meaning this muscle and this muscle should be engaging first, locking the shoulder into its socket before you do what it is you're looking to do. We just need to teach that to fire first. So there's these little exercises. Literally, one of them is with as light a band as you can imagine and just dropping my shoulders into socket and just doing this slowly with the band. Just a little bit of resistance. Just a little bit of a reminder. Guess how good the Holy Spirit is, convicting of us of our righteousness. But I have to hold the band. I don't have to. He'll do it. By the way, remember last week we said, you don't have to do anything. You can stay just celebrating that you are right with God. You are the righteousness of God. Christ will do it all. Rest. And you'll live a better life than you ever would have. I'm just letting you know, in that great life of rest, you are going to find yourself, and you already do, I know, invited sometimes to be in step with the Spirit, taking ground more aggressively, walking more centered. So the metaphor is, there's so many in it, but the second I get a stimulus, you get a stimulus, the brain wants to react. The brain wants to naturally protect. The brain has all these synapses in it and dendrites that have already been programmed what to do in the event of such a threat. A feeling arises, and that feeling also has a meaning attached to it. Fear, doubt, uncertainty, intimacy. I could get hurt. Last time I let someone know how I really feel, they stepped all over me. Trigger, trigger, trigger. Right? That happens. The body wants to, the brain, and then therefore the body following suit, wants to compensate, and it will compromise the truth of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians, let's do it fast. I just want you to hear this in the Word because it's powerful. And that's not where it is. There's a spot where it refers to the grace we have being Christ's. No surprise to anyone, right? So Scripture stating, particularly, and tying it to your spirit being enriched with that truth. Okay, so when he says we want to fire, get this, firing differently. When the stimulus comes, if the first thing that triggers is me remembering I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, no matter what I'm hearing, seeing, encountering, first of all, if I'm not seated, if my shoulder's not in the socket, no matter what I do after that, it's in a compromised situation. It's not resting in Christ. It's not resting in its seatedness. So no matter, and by the way, if it's too late and I'm already out of the socket, if you wake up aware that, wait a minute, I am not grounded right now. I'm not at rest right now. No problem. Stop figuring out how to do what it is you're doing. Stop figuring out how to deal with whatever the trigger was and go back and rest and get in place to handle it. But there might be a consequence. I might drop the fine crystal. It's okay. He still wants you at rest. That's you starting to say, if I don't stay in control of this or involved, then something will go wrong. And it's a trap, and it's a lie, and it's out of alignment, right? So so for me, currently, I didn't know what I didn't know about my even being alignment, not firing an order. Does that make sense? I didn't know what I didn't know. I was clueless. That's why I invited you today. Maybe there's an area where you don't even know what you don't know. It just doesn't feel victorious, right? Okay. Then all of a sudden, I went to this guy, and after a little bit of insight and then a little pain, I became aware I now know what I don't know, right? It's a start. Now I'm transitioning into knowing, I'll just say yes instead of no, what I know. I know. Now, pause, wait a second. Am I in alignment? If not, doesn't, okay. And inevitably, it can become responsive, reflexive, where I don't even need to know anymore what I know. I don't need to know what I know. It's just automatic. And you have that in your life already. You know it. There's no one would shake your belief that Jesus is Lord. Perhaps that's settled for you in such a way that it wouldn't matter what. Now, believing for breakthrough in a relationship, believing for breakthrough in just your passion for life, for your career path, for your finances, health, whatever, it's not about the thing. It's about the victorious joy in things. I saw a commercial that I wanted to mention. Anyone know the Viking cruises? I definitely want to do. I'm not a cruise ship guy, but those things look cool. It's floor to ceiling glass. Your whole wall is glass. They're these just very flat top ferry boats that go up like the Danube in Europe and the south of France. And your room, it's not like a little cabin on a cruise ship. It's a big room with one whole wall that's glass looking at the riverside that you're floating along and seeing. It looks beautiful. Anyway, their commercial captures all the pictures and all the emotions that you can imagine, right? And basically they're saying that life's too short. What's the one thing we don't have any more of, they said? Time. And they reached in and they triggered something and said to you and me, the listener, why not now? Why not you? Is there anything wrong with that? Why not say, you know what? Enough of me dreaming of someday doing the river cruise. I'm going to put a date on the calendar even if I don't know how. There's power in that. That's great. That's beautiful. But the lie that was behind it was, if I don't experience that, my life is less. It's always chasing after something. There's not enough time. Am I using today's minute right or wrong? Instead of just peace and joy that whatever is happening is divine. There is a divine power in you that we'll close on in 2 Peter. There is a divine power that supports all this, okay? So this responsive, reflexive scenario. Currently, if I don't know what I don't know, then I'm responsively reacting to situations, right? Now coming into awareness, I can at least know that I'm not in alignment. I know at least that I don't even know. I don't know, so I'm going to give an example. And then if you the Holy Spirit triggers you with one, that would be fantastic. Three kids, 20, almost 28, almost 23, and almost 15. Boy, girl, doesn't matter, although there's a little bit of an aspect to the fact that God made women different than he made men. Sorry, I'm not a politically correct guy for anyone listening. So anatomy-wise, they're different, and by design, they're different, okay? I'm not saying you can't be stronger than me, smarter than me, whatever, okay? I'll just leave that one alone. Anyway, the Wonder Woman is out now, so we have to be... I'm experiencing at this age with a 15-year-old daughter, 14 now, 12, 13, 14, the last 3 years, a challenge and invitation for a relationship. I have to be honest. I didn't see the same invitation and challenge from my sons because they were growing up to be like me. And so I made everything okay for them. My goal was, life is great. Protect them from all harm. If we were to have to put a dog down with my sons, our sons, I would not have ever even considered having them come in the room. I would have protected them from seeing that the injection and the death and the whole thing. Our daughter, we gave a choice. I've shared this in here before. She chose to go in. She watched. She sobbed in my arms. Blah, blah, blah. She lived. This was months ago. She's still here. She's alive. She's happy. You know, so I'm being challenged. I'm getting messages that say, danger. Someone's going to know you don't have the answer. Yes, you're daddy, but you don't have all the answers. Yes, we'd like to go on that river cruise. We can't, it's not the smart thing for us to invest in right now. That's okay, instead of me figuring out a way to make it happen. You see the difference? Or feeling the stress or failure that I am not making it happen. Or whatever it is, it's a whole new reality that's worth being thankful of the awareness so that we can go to knowing what we know. I know what. And we went over these last week. The scriptures aren't there for us to behave better. They're there for us to be reinforced in who he is and who we are. And the fact that he chose us for intimacy. So when he tells me and tells you that he supplies all my needs in the riches in Christ Jesus. What are his riches? Inexhaustible, beyond comprehension. And he supplies all my needs. What good is it for me to have that? And I don't mean it, that sounds like a negative, but I'll say it for me, not on you. Why would I have that in here, be aware of it here, and yet not apply it in my daily life? Not rest on that, and instead rest on the questions and the doubt. So if you want, we can go back to, and this is going to be mean, but we could go back to the questions that were in your mind last week and some of the questions that were coming up. Yeah, but what about the woman who died, put her baby in the car, and 8 hours later came back and found her baby dead? What kind of God would allow that? Or let's talk about the different theologies. And listen, I'm not saying there's not a place for all that. All I know is my shoulder belongs in the socket first. I'm not strong enough in my own strength to debate theology with you. I'm not interested because I'm finding too much peace and joy trusting him. Okay? I don't mean to offend anyone. I'm inviting you that if there's life in what I'm sharing for you, fantastic. If there's not, stay on the path. All I'm saying is wouldn't it make sense if there's an area that you don't know for sure and you're not certain and you're resting on knowledge instead of peace and certainty, why not lay down what you know for a season? And why not say, show me, lay on the table and trust the guy. And let him do the work he does. And then when he gives you the exercises, the Holy Spirit says, hey, I just want you for the next week or two to write down once in a while, I provide all your needs and the riches in Christ Jesus. And look at it a few times. Not disciplined. Not, I'm going to get up every morning at 6 and do this in repetition because I want it to become responsive, reflexive. No, just be aware. I've shared it before, I'll share it again. What changed my whole dependence on this was watching someone I know and love, and I know and love her strengths, but I also knew and loved, knew and understood to some degree weaknesses and limitations and pain and suffering and death. The opposite of life is death. Dying lifestyle, dying thoughts, dying feelings, dying physicalities. And I watched her get up every morning and simply say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, out loud. Over and over and over. She did nothing else. And I watched my wife transform before my eyes while I continued to be a know-it-all dummy butt, dum-dum. Not feeling the same degree of peace and joy. And finally, I went, I could have had righteousness. I could have had a V8. And so thank you, Jesus, that we get to replay that again and again. So be strong in grace, he said to Timothy. I think he's saying, hey, Timothy, remember this stuff. Be strengthened by it. There's going to be lies. There's going to be questions. There's going to be all kinds of stuff that come at you from the outside and from the inside. There's going to be commercials that are beautiful that have you wanting to take the cruise. And what's wrong with that? And reminding you there's only so much time on this earth, right? So what's wrong with that? But under it is a hidden time bomb lie that has you relying on the tree of knowledge of good and evil that says you better manage your time well or you're going to miss out on life. So be strong in grace. What do you have to lose? There was that old, not old, he's still rocking strong. Josh McDowell wrote Lord, Lunatic, and Liar. And in case you're not familiar with it, I'm sharing it just because, again, it may work to break down a wall of logic for someone. It was a logical approach to evangelism where he basically said, hey, he would say to people, he's either, Christ says, I am Lord. There is no other Lord besides me. So he's either Lord, or he's a liar, or he's a lunatic, right? Yes. But now let's test it, he goes on to say. If you embrace not the legalism and attempts to still practice the law, which it says you cannot do, it was simply showing you the need for a Lord, okay? But if you take what it says after that, which I'm amazed lately looking at, if you only read the New Testament a few times wherever you go from the place of, okay, I'm already a believer, I'm already receiving it seated, my soul is meant to prosper, these things are here for me to embrace life to the full. It you interpret it differently and in the intended openness for him to reveal to you what it looks like to walk in step with his Spirit, to carry as the temple of the living God on the earth, to carry the Spirit of God and walk together. And so the argument was, okay, first of all, if he's Lord and you trust all of this and you live it out, you'll be like the kid in that meme. I don't know. All I know is I'm happy. I'm full of peace and joy. I don't walk around worrying, don't do this, don't do that. I don't fear that I shouldn't cuss, I shouldn't drink, I shouldn't smoke, I shouldn't covet the riverboat cruise. I don't even think that way. I'm not wired that way. It told me I'm a new creation and I don't have to fear that stuff. And the less I fear it, the less I desire things that don't feed me. So all those things you say are bad, I find myself not doing them with the same heart that I used to, or you might, or might used to, you, not you, the collective you out there. So number one is, if I believe him and live that life and live, and he's right, not only do I live an amazing life here, I live an eternity with him. If he's a lunatic, I lived a great life believing a lunatic, I die, I become a mosquito in India, or a tree or a butterfly, okay, or whatever, but I led a great life here. Did I lose? No. Did I miss out? Okay, if he was a liar, same thing. Okay, well, similarly, what do you have to lose if you just start allowing when a trigger comes and it doesn't feel good? Either just rest, or in your rest and go, what's going on? When my daughter says, I don't like it when you treat me that way. Instead of me getting mad, which I do because I'm trying to love her well, and she's now actually letting me know her needs. She's sharing feelings. And my awareness of that discomfort enables me to realize, wait a minute, it doesn't mean what I was programmed, my old man was programmed to believe it means. Let me get seated and let the Spirit, let me go from what do I think here to what do I know here? What am I thinking? Wait, he provides all, and he's working all things together for my good, and what from a love place, she just wants me to know her heart. She just wants me to know she feels better when I don't encourager. The real specific example is we went out to the tennis court yesterday, and the more I encourage her, the more frustrated she got. But I'm her dad. I know better. You should be listening to me. And finally, when we're all done later, she goes, look, I appreciate the encouragement. I appreciate that you want to encourage me. It doesn't work for me. Well, let's fix that. I'm not kidding. That's exactly what rose up. But I had a choice. And I went, wait a minute. And I just said, thank you for letting me know. And I said, Holy Spirit, I'm going to need your help. Because it's hard to watch her do it wrong and be frustrated about the wrongness. But it's not up to me to fix it. She didn't ask me to be her coach. She asked me to love her well the way she wants to be loved, right? And therefore, I experience more intimacy and love. So I went to those personal examples instead of questions today. You have them too. I just only know how to be as raw and representative of what's here with something that I own, something that I relate to, and I believe the Spirit will take for you the same things. And they don't have to be big relational things. It can just be how you handle something when it shows up at work that triggers you to be frustrated, unmotivated, whatever. It's not his best. So to continually repeat, I wasn't made for this. Let me go buy Rick Warren's book and figure out what the purpose of my life is. It won't work until you're here first. So right there in the job that you think isn't what God made you for, what if you let go of what you know? I know this isn't for me. I know I don't like it. What if you just, for the moment, allowed the feeling and got settled and went, wait a minute, he provides all my needs. That's right, he provides all, your brain's going to go, yeah, so my need is a new job. Wait, right? Fortunately, I don't have to figure out how to communicate this for you. I'm receiving it for me. I believe God has something in it for all of us. I said we close on 2 Peter. We have a minute to do it. The 2 Peter 1. In 2 Peter 1, we'll go here. 2 Peter. Jimmy, aren't you excited that we're in a closing scripture? 2 Peter. He's the hook, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. So he says, 2 Peter, okay. To those who have received a faith of the same kind as yours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you. It's being multiplied, just being aware and catching that wind instead of the flatulent wind of the old self. Sorry. That's full of death. So grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. And godliness is not some, it's other than, it's holiness, it's being set apart, it's this oneness with him. So everything for life and godliness. Thank you, God, for that truth. Thank you that we can rest in you, knowing that we have minds that are powerful, full of love, and our sound minds. I was going to read those definitions for you out of the Greek. We'll look at that next time. Love you guys. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay.